Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show.
Episode 329 of the Roguecast, recorded April 20th, 2021. 7 days, y'all.
All right, so we do not have a ton of news this week. Yep. But what we do have is pretty exciting. We're going to talk about it in a minute.
Yeah, just maybe a slightly tighter podcast.
Yes. By the way, I got access to the stats for our podcast for the first time ever.
Okay.
Well, it's the Apple stats at any rate.
So did it point out who our one listener was?
There are 10 listeners.
No, oh, nice. That's all I ask.
It is entirely possible people are listening just on the app itself, but our Apple podcast numbers are what you would call sad.
Oh, I didn't want to know that.
So we appreciate everyone listening. You may think of us as doing a custom podcast just for you. There may be about a dozen people listening.
That's now, right. I will say, I did have a person tell me that they listened to our podcast last week. So yeah. I think there are more than 12 people.
It could be the same. 12 people could have all told us everyone who listens to the podcast could have told us they've listened to the podcast.
That's true.
What we need for everyone who listens to the podcast, all 10 of you, to go ahead and find somebody else.
Yes.
Kill them.
No, wait, what?
Oh, sorry, I was mixing up my missions.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
I meant to get them to listen to the podcast.
Yes, or they will die.
Yes.
Is that a ring kind of thing?
It's a reverse ring.
If
you don't listen to the podcast, you will die in 7 days.
I call them up on the phone, and instead of spooky voice, I do a real Texan voice, and I go, 7 days! That's what you got.
Yes.
Western ring.
Yeah. So yes, you know, a lot of people complained when they translated Ringu to the ring for American, just kind of on that something was lost in translation. But you know what? It could have been worse. No, the Ring is a very good movie. I love it.
Ringu is a good movie too.
I've never seen it.
Me neither. I've seen the Ring though.
Yeah,
it's good. I've not seen the Western Ring.
7 days.
7 days, y'all. store-wise stuff, we just got in Thirsty Sword Lesbians, which is the Fate-powered RPG. No, Apocalypse World-powered RPG.
Oh, is it Apocalypse World?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd ask what it's about, but I feel like the title is fairly self-explanatory. Yeah. But it looks like it is a fun, tongue-in-cheek book of battling lesbians.
Yep. If you want to do a Steven Universe kind of game or a She-Ra kind of game.
Yeah, it's both like, it looks like both wholesome and raunchy.
Yeah, it looks like fun.
And the art in it looks really good. Like, just if you flip through the inside and see the character designs, all the different warrior ladies, they're super cool.
It's a really beautiful book, so worth a look. And we also have the adult blue dragon, the miniature for D&D. We also got these cool wild shape.
Is that a pre-painted one or no? That's one of the.
It's pre-painted.
Okay.
We also have the wild shape and polymorph packs, which is a cool new thing where it's like there's different packs, and they come with different animals your druid might wild shape into, or people might polymorph into. So one of them has like a giant shark, and
I saw a polar bear, scorpion.
There's a
sculpts and paint jobs on those are really nice.
There's a giant ape in one of them.
Yep.
It's cool.
Yeah, that ape would just be good for anybody using a giant ape King Kong type thing.
Yeah, if it is
biggie sized.
If you're playing a King Kong, for example.
I'm gonna say, but like there are giant apes in everybody gets killed in that adventure?
No, Tomb of Annihilation.
Tomb of Annihilation. It's got a lot of jungle adventure, and I think they might be like four-armed apes or something, though.
Those are Girlons, Dave.
I don't know. D&D stuff, you nerd.
But anyway, if you're playing a King Kong, for example, you're doing a King Kong rogue or something.
Yep. Or if Mighty Joe Young is part of your party.
Yeah, if you have Mighty Joe Young in the party. also, Wonder Woman Heroclix, for those who are playing the Heroclix.
Nice.
Or like Wonder Woman.
I mean, is it themed around like Wonder Woman 84 or... Just Wonder Woman in general?
It seems to be just Wonder Woman.
It's not that before, right?
80th anniversary.
Of their many packs, they haven't done a Wonder Woman theme, and she's got lots of villains, lots of allies, and I know they always have some characters that are not part of that pantheon, too.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I would actually like to see some of those.
All right, so the news that I spoke of, though, is that the trailer dropped for Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, or Shang-Chi. Some people are saying you pronounce it differently. It's been Shang-Chi for my entire life.
Yeah, that's how it's going to be.
Unless they pronounce it differently in the movie.
But isn't the right thing to do, if there's a better pronunciation, to adhere to it?
Yes, if you tell me that pronunciation, but it is nowhere in the trailer.
Yeah, now the only reason I know about it is because one of your friends on Facebook who notices these kind of things was wondering about it, and
but is
and,
this how, like, Dan tells me that I'm saying Constantine wrong?
Yeah, Constantine is not Constantine.
I'm just, it is if you're, like, a British man, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But here's the thing, I think... If they change the way they say it in the
I said Ra's al Ghul forever, and then they said Ra's al Ghul in Nolan's movies. I still like Ra's al Ghul better.
Well, Ra's al Ghul is what they said in the animated series, right?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's correct.
Christopher Nolan just got it wrong.
Who cares what the Nolan movies said?
No. Nolan was like, I will make it race.
I think that I heard that might be like the more correct way to pronounce it, the Arabic thing, but... I don't know. Anyway, my point is, if I find out it's there's a more correct way to say it, I'll say it. But we've said Shang-Chi for a million years, and until we know better for sure,
yes,
Shang-Chi it is.
I will continue to do the same until I know better.
Yep.
That said, the trailer itself is really good. It's a good trailer. They always do good trailers.
I loved it. I've watched it like 6 or 7 times.
So I think here's the thing, and Dave may be out with me on this. I liked it. It's a good trailer, but I wasn't like, oh, wow, I can't wait for this. Like, what was it about?
I don't know. It's like the martial arts thing. That was kind of a big thing growing up. I love the martial arts movies. But I like the cast they've assembled. I know some of these people are, like, acclaimed, like, martial artists and who've been in martial arts movies for years. I mean, the person who's playing the Mandarin is, like, my best friend's, like, one of his favorite actors.
Huh.
When the Mortal Kombat trailer dropped, I was like, that trailer looks dope. And then all my more intense martial arts loving friends were like, not only does it look dope, but this person, and this person are some of the best martial artists in TV and movies, and they're all over the place and various shows and stuff. And so I guess maybe this movie also some
of that. And also, like, the martial arts, the effects look great.
They do. It's really good.
His fast movements, it sort of mirrors what I expect Shang-Chi to be in the Marvel Universe, being, like, a force to be reckoned with.
Nick, have you read the Shang-Chi books?
I have not read a ton. I've read a little bit here and there, but I kind of always looked at your omnibuy that you picked up, and I was like, damn it, why didn't I buy
this? So I've read a fair amount, not all of it, there's a lot of Shang-Chi, but I've read a fair amount of it. What struck me on reading it is how much of a spy book it was.
Yeah.
And they're definitely not quite going that way here. They're definitely not... I'm sure there'll be some nods to it, but they're changing up what it is quite a bit.
It also does seem like the kind of thing that if they chose to, like if he got recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D. or some other agency, he could still end up doing that.
Yeah.
They did, because he was with MI6, right? He was like literally with James Bond type spy agencies.
Yep.
So if they wanted to, if they start getting a little bit more international at some point, introduce... who are the British heroes? Captain Britain, Union Jack, any of those guys, and any of the British teams, then it'd be kind of cool if he ended up recruited by them. But, as it is, at least they're not jumping in straight with the spy thing, because it looks like the premise is that, yes, his father is, rather than Fu Manchu, the legendary pulp villain character in the comics, which caused all sorts of legal issues for Marvel over the years... It looks like it's the Mandarin.
The Mandarin,
which I have a question about in a minute. But and he's had like 10 years to kind of live his life or whatever, and he seems to have kind of had a normal life.
Yeah. Well, but as like he clearly does all right for he has fancy cars and stuff. Like he's lived his normal life, but maybe with his father's resources. Like he
it doesn't look like it because he wasn't the person driving his car. He was the one who was going to park the car.
He
befriended Awkwafina.
He was the valet.
He basically lives like an average Joe life.
I did not catch that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But now I think Daddy's like, it's time to come home and claim your inheritance or whatever.
And head up my crime family.
Which
I think is kind of cool, because if I'm not wrong, this is basically going to be the first movie of the Phase 4, right?
I think that's right, yes.
So it is kind of mimicking a little bit of Iron Man. Yeah. I mean, it actually has a callback to Iron Man, but it's a singular character, kind of weird, just getting that again, and I'm looking forward to that.
So I'm slightly confused. The Mandarin was a terrorist, presented as a terrorist in Iron Man 2 or 3 or whatever?
That was a fake-out.
Right, but that is how they presented it, and then they revealed at the end that it was like a mock, that Ben Kingsley was like some schlub actor that they had placed.
So Guy Pearce, who Aldrich Killian?
Killian, yeah.
Basically took the name Mandroid because he found it somewhere and thought it was scary.
Yeah.
And you created a new person. Around it, yeah. And in one of the short things that they did for that were occasionally doing with like their DVD releases.
Their extras, yeah.
Was one where Ben Kingsley's character gets broken out.
He was taken before like the true Mandarin.
Yeah, and it's like the true Mandarin's like minions.
Yeah, because he didn't like his name being besmirched in such a way.
Right. But didn't you just say that he took the name like
he may have found it on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, basically he just
but presumably like he didn't realize that he was treading on something.
Yeah, I have a feeling if Aldrich Killian didn't get killed, Mandarin would have killed him.
Yeah. But also, it refers back to the Ten Rings, which was the organization that kidnapped Tony in Iron Man.
Yep. Which I thought is really cool.
Which, of course, for them, that was just their nod to the Rings. And they didn't know there was going to be an MCU at that point.
No.
So it was just a Easter egg. And I think they were probably thinking, oh, we might do a sequel where we reveal the Mandarin. And they just never got around to it.
No. This is a clever way of utilizing that background and making it kind of a new thing.
Now, you guys saw, you were saying he actually has, like, the Ten Rings. They're like armbands or something.
Yeah, he does. He has armbands that, like, do something.
Is it like that dude in, what do you call it? Not Shaolin Soccer. The same, what's the other one? Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah, yeah.
They're one of the everyman guys who are the everyman defenders of the little rubbish end of town.
Yep.
Had the rings on his arms that he fought with.
Well, yeah. These look a little different. They're not connected. They're like individual rings that go up.
That's how it was.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They weren't skin tight. They moved around while he did punches, and they could also, like, they would block stuff.
Well, these look static, because they don't move when he was punching, but he also was, they glowed, and I would assume because each ring was supposed to have a different aspect, they'll do, like, various manipulations of, like, the water was moving.
Yeah, there's a bit where someone punches, is it him or someone else who punches, and there's, like, a flash effect.
Yeah, I think that was the Mandarin.
I couldn't tell if these were, like, flashbacks to ancient time or just like some mythical lost sort of part of China or whatever, but there was like what looked a little bit like a wirefu, like wuxia kind of Japanese or Chinese fantasy sort of style film, and you know, like the Crouching Tiger style.
Yeah.
And the so do you think like the rings will be magic?
Yes,
that's the question. Magic or there, because in comics they're alien artifacts.
I think it's going to be magic.
I think it probably will be.
And I think they're going to... Random shot-in-the-dark thing, I think they'll kind of lead to, like, Kun Lun and, like, tie in all of the sort of mysticism of that.
Here's an interesting thing, and I don't know if they'll reference this or not, but we know that Doctor Strange 2 is coming, and they introduced the whole sling ring thing. So they may have the notion that, like, rings are somehow a magical thing. You use rings to focus magic.
I mean, I that could easily be a thing. I would like for them to sort of carve their own little part of the MCU a little bit more. And I love the fact that I would assume that these assassins are coming after Shang-Chi to get him to come back home.
By the way, I do love that they have Razor Fist in here, because Razor Fist is one of those, he's one of Iron Fist's notable villains. They also, someone pointed out online, there's a guy, Shockwave maybe, who is a guy who wears like martial artists in like armor.
Okay.
He's another Shang-Chi villain. Who I first saw in like West Coast Avengers, but yeah, he has his villain gallery, and it seems like they're putting him in there. There's someone training him in like a mask, who then seems like maybe comes after him.
It's a super cool looking mask, so I feel like it has to be some major character.
And people are guessing maybe Michelle Yeoh, because we know she's in this, but we don't see her anywhere in that trailer.
That's true.
Yeah. That'd be great, and sort of, you know, definitely suggest the lineage of the great martial artists. Yeah.
I have high expectations for this because of the director as well. It's Daniel. Is it Daniel Dagan Creston?
I don't know.
He was the guy who did Short Term 12 and that movie with Michael B. Jordan, Just Mercy.
Oh. But,
he is a director. He is sort of on the same lines of Ryan Coogler. So it's interesting for him to sort of jump in and do like an action piece when, for the most part, he does very simple, direct dramas that are not only done well, but they are done very well. I watched both of those, and both of them have a kind of, like, you get punched by them, especially Short Term 12.
But not martial arts
not martial arts punch, but a punch in the heart.
So what's interesting, and I guess this one was the one that had kind of flashes of a little bit of everything in there, but, like, you don't actually see a lot of Shang-Chi in it. Like, he's visually there, not a lot of dialogue. not a lot of sense of, like, quite who he is, but you do kind of get a sense of that sort of everyman vibe thing.
Yeah. But he has a cool fight scene at the end.
He has a cool fight scene. Yeah, it looks like, I think the heightened martial arts that they're going to be doing looks pretty cool to me. The reason I'm not super excited about both either this or, say, Black Widow is that they both, even though they are kind of heightened, they still kind of fall into traditional genres that I've seen done super well already, that like martial arts movies and like action spy movies. And I kind of want I need to see how much the MCU part will be in it. I was talking about this with Randy yesterday. I'd like to see, you know, the equivalent of an Ant-Man when Falcon showed up unexpectedly. I want to see some Marvel Universe presence so that I kind of feel like it's more than just a cool-looking martial arts movie.
But you wouldn't want to know that ahead of time.
Don't want to know it ahead of time. So, right. Yeah. So obviously, at this point, you know, they've earned the faith. But, yeah, I'm not, like, super hyped for it.
I mean, there has to be a reason that they made the Black Widow movie, even though it was supposed to, and chronologically, it's happening right after Winter Soldier, right? And
okay, I didn't know where it
slotted. I don't know. I didn't know that either. But
yeah, I think that's where it was supposed to fall.
All I know is that Marvel has done no wrong for me. I mean, even the lesser movies for me are movies I like, so I'm excited to see it.
Right, they have a really astonishing history of, like, no major screw ups in, like, 20+ movies. It's pretty impressive.
Honestly, the Marvel comics have had more misfires than the MCU has.
Yep. Yeah. The MCU is largely doing what the Batman animated series did, which was the best of hindsight 2020.
Yeah.
And as well as building their own mythology at times. You know, there's stuff that they've done that they kind of created whole cloth or concepts that they built up that were original to them.
Yeah, this has me more excited for Eternals because I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to sort of nail kind of the feel of a good martial arts film and kind of MCU vibing. And
yeah,
if they can do that with this, I can't even imagine what they're going to do with Eternals.
Right.
And Chloe Zhao, I'm super excited to see what she... Apparently, it's supposed to be very good from what I understand.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Yeah, the MCU starting up again. I'm excited to have movies again, so... Even though I've been
very
much enjoying
TV. And that's early September, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We're getting a lot of MCU this year.
Yeah.
I mean, WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier.
We went without all last year, Nick.
It's true.
We need it.
And are there any more TV shows after Falcon?
Loki, and then What If, and I believe Ms. Marvel is this year.
Wow.
I thought Ms. Marvel was next year.
I thought it was this year, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Ms. Marvel live action?
Yeah, live action.
Nice.
Which is going to lead into Captain Marvel 2.
There's at least two. I mean, I know What If is this year.
Yeah.
And we know Loki is in June. But I feel like there's at least one more after that, that it's either Ms. Marvel or something. And maybe more than one, actually. Actually, I have a list. I have a calendar.
Is Hawkeye in 2022?
So Hawkeye is supposed to be in the fall. Ms. Marvel's supposed to be in the winter.
Okay.
And What If is supposed to be sometime this summer.
So
and
this
also,
is really
by the
quite
way,
a big Marvel year.
Shang-Chi is September. Eternals has not moved. It's still November 5th.
Oh, so they're going to have three movies?
Spider-Man is December 17th.
Four movies.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man, Black Widow.
Yep. Shang-Chi, Eternals.
And five shows.
And five shows.
All right, that's too much Marvel. Take it away.
No, it is not.
I'm done. Go ahead and cancel the project.
No, I'll kill you. All right.
It was good while it lasted, but
I'm
wanting more, Randy.
I want more.
I'm going to applaud Randy's wish that he made for his birthday of getting all the MCU things.
Yes. we're going to take a break and then we'll back to talk about comics for the week. We are talking comics for the week of Wednesday, April 20th.
A good week.
420.
Yes, it is. Relax, kick back, and enjoy some comics.
It's actually April 21st. 420 is when we're recording.
Oh, okay.
That's why we're all super high right now.
That's right. And Nick came dressed as Cheech.
Yeah. That was weird, but it works.
You know, whatever.
And I came dressed as a giant marijuana leaf. this is a good week of comics for me. There was a lot of stuff I really liked. Leading off for me, though, is at Nightwing, issue 79, which is part two of the Tom Taylor stuff.
The new era.
And it's really good. Like, this continues to be just a really impressive run.
I mean, Bruno Redondo's artwork is stellar.
It's the best I've seen from him. I liked his stuff on Suicide Squad, but this is notably better.
So, for those who weren't there when we talked about it before, sort of, let's see, what defines this new run beyond, obviously, Tom Taylor's writing, and we really like him, but he's back in Bloodhaven.
There's two big things. Well, I guess there's three big things. Back in Bloodhaven, He is working directly with Barbara again.
Right.
And he's rich.
He has an inheritance from what Alfred had stockpiled before he died. And I have not read this issue yet, but from what I've gathered, and I don't think this is too big a spoiler, it looks like he is trying to use his money ethically, and that's something that the story is going to actually explore.
Yep, something that a lot of people wanted from Batman for a long time.
Yeah, aside from just the, I've contributed, vibe, which is kind of, a little bit... yes, I know we don't want to see, want it to be about, Bruce Wayne, social change giant, but maybe that should be more of it than, I got a check.
Batman just made a lot of donations to the Human Fund, a fund for people.
What is the plot of the first story arc?
I don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay.
But there, it's good. There is a threat that appears.
There is a threat that appears, yeah.
Who is it?
I'm not going to tell you.
You are the threat.
Unless it's Man-Bat, I don't care.
There's a couple new books from Boom and Black Mass. Like, a lot of the indies came through for us this week.
Yeah, they did.
So, Alice in Leatherland, issue one. This
not
is by,
quite as suggestive as the title sounds, but it's the, not also not, not...
These are creators we don't know. Iolanda Zanfardino and Elisa Romboli.
Yep.
All great names, by the way.
A really impressive either debut or debut to us.
No, I think it is a debut. I don't think it... But it's not black and white, but it is like... It's like pink and white.
Sort of sepia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is basically about a woman who is this very sweet... she draws children's books. Her writer is moving to San Francisco, and something happens that causes her to move with her, and she's looking for a place to live and winds up in a very unusual place.
Yes.
It's funny. It's very sweet. It has stunning artwork.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of like a slightly more cartoony Terry Moore.
Yeah.
But it has that same quality of like the more serious stuff in it is really impressive.
Yeah. But it also has the sort of goofy vibe.
Yeah. It captures a little bit of his cartoonishness. I think it's some of the best cartooning of the week.
Yeah, and I wonder, if this is one of those things I think this is going to wind up in our Diverse Voices section and sell every week, basically, once the trade comes out.
I have a feeling so. The writing is really good on
it. But if you are not a trade-only person, definitely give this one a look. I liked it. Also one that I think, I don't know, Nick, did you get a chance to read this one?
I didn't, actually.
So Dave and Anna and Al really like this. It is called The Many Deaths of Layla Starr. It is written by Ram V, who is one of DC's rising stars. He's doing Swamp Thing, and I feel like something else notable
Wonder
that he's
Woman?
Working on. Maybe Wonder Woman.
But anyway, he's out there. I feel like I've read one or two of his superhero things, and they haven't connected with me big time, but I thought his writing was really witty and sharp on this. Which is sort of like a quasi-Hindu fable with some satire in it, too. Yeah. Like, almost elements of, like, Sandman, but, like, more tongue-in-cheek.
I was going to say, there's something a little bit Gaiman-esque about it, but it is a slightly more tongue-in-cheek approach.
Because it is about a Hindu death goddess, but in a kind of, like, corporate afterlife.
Yeah, she basically is laid off because they're like, the kid's been born who's going to cause immortality, so we don't need death anymore.
Say that again.
The kid has been born who's going to cause immortality.
Right, like humankind is going to have immortality, so death is, it's like, we're going to have to let you go.
Yep.
And there's, like, aside from, like, really remarkable art, I mean, I think it's...
Yeah, the art is gorgeous.
I just said Alice in Leatherland is some of the best art of the week, but I think this is actually the best. They're both fantastic though, and like you see her talking with God essentially, who is her boss, and so there's also some dark humor that relates to choices she has to make when she is granted like a mortal life or she's consigned to a mortal life, would maybe be the way to put it, and has some decisions to make, and there's both some interesting kind of like. Heart in there, as well as, like, you know, it almost reminds me of, who's the guy who did the Flintstones comic? Russell...
Dauterman?
No,
the Flintstones comic.
Russell...
The satirist.
Oh, hell.
Does all those comics.
Mark Russell.
It reminded me a little bit, like, it had aspects of what I like about his writing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is to say, both genuinely witty, genuinely satirical, but also, like, there seems to be a heartbeat beneath it, you know?
There's also the latest X book came out this week, Way of X.
Yeah, Nick, did you get around to reading
it? I did.
Would you say that the acknowledged to not be like all the book is about, but the somewhat elevator pitch that Nightcrawler is considering forming a mutant religion. Is that part of it?
Yeah. I mean, he came to that sort of realization
In previous
X-Men.
Stuff. Yeah.
In X-Men.
I was going to say, I thought I'd heard it talked about
and
before.
This is him sort of trying to expand on that thought while also dealing with some of the harsher aspects of life on Krakoa, specifically.
So, like, people who are still feel alienated, sort of?
Well, not that. He's just trying to reckon with the idea of, like, the Crucible, which is the gladiatorial-style combat of death.
I wondered about that myself when I read an issue.
Yeah. There are some things. There's also a new threat that's sort of kind of coming to Krakoa that is very near and dear to the X-Men. So...
What is it?
I'm not going to tell you that. I typically am not a huge fan of Cy Spurrier, but I felt like this was sort of him a little reined in, working within sort of the constraints of what the X universe has done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's given him some boundaries while also allowing him to still play with characters like Dr. Nemesis and... yeah, I mean, Dr. Nemesis is not my favorite either.
I don't know if that carried on the mic, but there was a little, I had a little sigh, growl. Just, it's only because I know Dr. Nemesis is one of those, like Warren Ellis, his Gary Stew or whatever that term is.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, like, you know, clearly, the way the X-Men books are the other day, I was explaining to a customer that I had never seen the X-Men books as cohesive as they are, where
yeah.
they all felt like part of a shared world with, you know, bouncing back ideas but forth among each other. And it makes sense that basically everybody who's been an X-Men is going to get some play.
And also like that it's tackling kind of the biggest question of, like, the younger generation of mutants, the characters that I don't have a connection to because they were, like, the Hellions or the new, like, the, basically, like, the... Like, there's a character like DJ and stuff that I haven't even heard of.
Right.
But it's like, they have no concept of, like, other than, yeah, we can't die, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
It's that sort of concept that Nightcrawler is like, but life should matter. And, like,
right.
if you're just gonna, like...
He grew up mortal, they didn't.
Right, essentially. And it's like, what does that mean? And
yeah.
Is this something we should, you know...
So it's 22 pages of Nightcrawler slapping children.
I mean, if
wake
it
up,
was,
you dumbasses,
with some color commentary by Dr. Nemesis,
yes,
who is now growing mushrooms out of his head, which is a little strange.
That's not strange for him, probably.
But apparently, yeah, there's some. They've made Dr. Nemesis interesting, so I
okay.
will. Mm-hmm. I will say I will give Cy Spurrier some credit there.
There's the latest in a series of what Marvel's been doing is sort of these one shots that sort of focus in on. Underrepresented Voices, which
yeah.
is the Women of Marvel number one. It's an anthology. A lot of Mariko Tamaki in here, I was noticing.
Yeah.
But also, like, Sophie Campbell has a story that she wrote.
Some really talented artists,
yeah, there's
too.
A lot of... Peach Momoko has a story in here. There's a lot of really... a lot of sort of short stories. There's a Peggy Carter story and from the alternate Peggy Carter as Captain America. There's an Emma Frost... The Mystique.
I really appreciate the one-page stories.
Yeah.
They get to the point and they're fun. There's a Hela one in here that I love.
Misty Knight, She-Hulk, yeah, Hela. I see a bunch of people represented in here. So, and then Gamora. So, like, yeah, a bunch of short stories featuring the women of Marvel, just
let's,
as it says.
Let's not forget a Feral and Marrow story.
That's true.
By the way... We're probably about to, or we're maybe about to get to this book. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But this is, Randy, you were about to mention their new book, The Mighty Valkyries,
yeah,
a spinoff
of Marvel, yeah.
of Thor stuff. I just want to actually quick mention something I flipped to, which is Marvel used to do the bullpen bulletins page where you would kind of get to know the various creators. I just saw a profile on Kelly Thompson in here, I always kind of liked those back in the day. You'd get a little snippets about what their favorite Marvel character is, what their coffee order is, favorite band... And all that. It's just kind of a neat thing. I hope they continue to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the art of this is great. There's two different artists,
oh, man,
two stories.
Yeah.
There's a painty one at the beginning, and then there's more traditional at the back. Jason Aaron co-writes with Torun Granbeck, who I'm sure is not real. I think that's just his Norse puppet that he uses, maybe.
Man, that's a cool name.
But then Torun flies solo on the backup story.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a. I'm not. I'm way behind on this, so I've not read any of it. But
well, you know, I was really enjoying the Valkyrie comic.
Yeah.
And who was writing that?
That was Aaron and Grumbach.
That was two guys.
But I thought like
Al Ewing wrote some of it.
Yeah, yeah. Because normally I'm actually not a big fan of Jason Aaron. But I do sometimes really like Al Ewing, and I was thinking that that was maybe where I was connecting. Anyway, I haven't gotten around to this yet, but I'm just, you know, the art is jaw-droppingly detailed and painted.
It reminds me a lot of, like, Assad Rubik.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely has that quality.
Is April Women's History Month or something, or do we just have, like, a random, like, there's a lot of female-fronted comics this week, which is great. As I just kind of noticed, we've gone through, like, all the ones we've gone through are female creative teams in a lot of cases, and
you're right.
Women-led books. But there's another one, The Old Guard. Greg Rucka brings back The Old Guard for a third miniseries. This is he and Leandro Fernandez do a lead story, but then there's a backup story, and it is going to be an anthology with different creators. And so the lead story is about Andy and her ex, and the backup story is about the sort of gay couple who were part of The Old Guard. They're both really good stories. I highly recommend this. If you've never read Old Guard, I would definitely worth looking at it.
By the way, at Marvel, one more mention is that there's a new direction for Spider-Woman, I guess.
Or an old direction.
An old direction, yeah. It's got the classic costume and everything. But it's issue 11, so it doesn't, like, it's not like a relaunch.
Right.
It's another one I haven't read, but it looks like she's still married to the guy who was... Is he the dude who was the porcupine?
Married to?
I don't know. I thought so.
I thought it was dating.
Oh, okay. I don't know how it is. I just knew that they'd had a kid.
No, the kid is not his.
Oh, okay.
He just helps with the kid.
Fair enough. Who's the kid?
I believe it was artificial insemination.
Okay. Yeah, that rings a bell, and I like that they did that. I like that her story kind of carries forward with that continuity. He seems like I liked the characterization of I can't say his actual name, but the porcupine dude.
Yeah, he's great, Roger.
So anyway, yeah, that's another one. And arguably, if we're talking about the ladies in comics, I guess it's not an Alien Queen, but the but yes, there's the second issue of Alien from Marvel is out this week as well.
It's really good.
Aftershock has Girls of Dimension 13, which is basically, a bunch of girls come to New York and discover that they have, like, magical abilities, and they're going to be trained in them. It's a fun Aftershock book. Art by Brett Blevins, who's kind of a 90s old school guy.
Brett Blevins is actually, like, yeah. I think goes as far back as the 80s, or Might maybe so. Even 70s as far as his earliest stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, because my brother had, like, he did this thing that was, like, right when, like, ElfQuest was hitting.
Yeah.
He did the original Oddworld comics from Marvel.
Yeah.
Where he did this, like, fancy painted art.
Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden and Peter Bergting have a Dark Horse book that is, I think, theoretically in the Hellboy universe, but it's called Kojakaru the Skinner, and it seemed to be about a sort of a witch hunter in 1930s Germany.
I believe from what I read, it is possibly the ghost of that witch hunter. And I believe there is more to it than just let's get the witches. I think that there's also there's sort of white witches in this and some other... he's always great with the folklore stuff.
IDW has its all ages Godzilla Monsters and Protectors.
Yep.
Which has a kid YouTuber talking about Godzilla showing up for this. It seems like this is the new Godzilla stories they're doing. An evil corporation did something that hurts the environment, and Godzilla has to come wreck some stuff.
You know, that sounds pretty all right. It'll be nice to have a Godzilla comic that can go in our all ages section. Not the ones that traditionally show him smoking.
Right.
That's not for kids.
Bunch of second issues this week. Orphan of the Five Beasts, the crazy James Stokoe Kung Fu book, which gets even crazier with the second issue. Firefly Brand New Verse, which is it was like 20 years later, and it's Zoe's the captain of the Firefly.
Zoe and Wash's kid, yeah.
And their kid is her first mate. Captain Marvel has a jumping on point this week where she becomes Sorceress Supreme, or at least learns magic. It's a good look.
Yeah, I thought the hood looks cool. Yeah. Ever since Rogue busted out the hood back in the 80s, it's been a good look for those who adopt it.
Yep. It was like maybe in 2050. It's they're doing some like alternate world stuff with her. And then Second issue of Ultra Mega, the Image kaiju fighting book.
Yep, it was fun.
And
crazy.
Then third issues of Radiant Black and Stray Dogs, two of Image's Image's strong books.
I'm still continuing to like Stray Dogs quite a bit. The What If Some Disney-type Dogs Discovered Their Owner was a serial killer comic. But it is dark.
It's dark.
But it's still dark in a way that is conceptually dark, but isn't like, there's no gore in it.
No, but bad things happen this issue, Dave.
I think, by the way, the thing that you think might have happened on the last page, I think it's a fake out.
I don't think it is.
It might not be, but even if it is, the fact that we're not 100% sure about it speaks to the fact that when bad things happen, it tends to be actually off screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So right now it's about these poor pups though trying to like it's very. I thought this issue was like hyper suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
They did this thing where the dogs are trying to like dig under the house and check and see if there's like a body buried under there, and like his car is he's parking his car out in the driveway and they keep intercutting back to him getting out of the car, his feet coming down.
It's very much like the suspense kind of thing you get with like a when people are like. Trying to break in, trying to find the evidence for a murder, and the murderer shows up at the house, but with dogs.
Yeah, it is that whatever that movie was that had Jared Leto in it. It had like a similar scene to this. I kind of like the way they depict all the humans in it, which is to say they're always sort of like from the shoulders down.
Yeah,
you don't see their faces. It's kind of like the dog's by view sort
right.
of thing.
They just see their butts.
Yes,
they do not see their butts.
It's really good. I super like it.
Nick, anything else in the single issues you need to mention?
I mean, just the X books, so Sword and X Force.
Right.
Those were both good this week. So.
There's some great paperbacks and stuff this week. The Way of the Hive, a honeybee story, by Jay Hosler. This is a book from, I don't know, 20 years ago?
Yeah, like maybe even a little bit more. That was like, it was an educational comic about the life of the honeybee.
Yep.
That's super good. It should be in all the schools, and everybody should get it for their kids.
Was it color originally, Dave?
No, it was black and white.
So this is a color version as a... Basically, there's an audience for this there may not have been 20 years ago.
Right.
As they make... As they follow a young honeybee on her journey about learning about bees and all this kind of stuff. It's really educational. It's really fun. I would recommend this to anybody with kids.
Yeah. It's kind of adorable.
Not for kids... Junji Ito has a new story collection that is called Love Sickness. And so it's going to be a bunch of short stories, horror short stories from manga's best
like,
of horror.
It's like sweet romance comics from him.
Yes. Avatar Last Airbender, the third omnibus called The Rift, comes out. So they're finally getting around to collecting all these older stories back together in these nice little omnibus formats. And then a hardcover of Wind, which was James Tinian and Michael Dionysus' story of a world where magical heritage is punished by death. A young boy named Wynn must hide his true identity and pointy ears from everyone in Pipetown.
I might need to check that out since Tinian has been charting for me all over the place lately.
I also like, this is a nice format. It's a little hardcover. It reminds me of like the first, second books.
There's a lot of
good all-ages books this week.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's it for comics this week, I think. We're going to skip topics just we ran a little short on time. So that'll be it for this week. And until next week,
Yo, Joe!
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.